Well, let's take our Bibles, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 12 this morning. Revelation chapter number 12. For those of you who are joining us this morning for the first time, this year we've been studying through this wonderful last book of the Bible, and I trust that you'll be blessed as a result, and we are certainly enjoying the Word of God this year, amen. This morning we are up to Revelation chapter number 12. And to begin with, let's look at verses 1 to 17, the chapter itself. Revelation chapter number 12, and look with me beginning in verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10. Why don't we read verses 10 and 11 together, our memory verses. On 2. 1, 2. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Amen. Wonderful verses. Verse 12 says, Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the covenants of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. Wonderful passages of Scripture. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we look at them this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. Lord, we thank you for the precious word of God that speaks today. Lord, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, it is indeed the living, inspired word of God. Lord, we pray that you would quicken us. Lord, you would revive us by your word this morning. Lord, I do pray if there's anyone present here today that is not sure about their eternity, that has no assurance of eternal life. Lord, I do pray that this would be the day of their salvation. Lord, I pray that you would use your word according to your will and help us, Lord, each to have open hearts and ears that are willing to hear. Lord, eyes open to see what you would have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we come to chapter number 12, let me remind you that the chapters in the book of the Revelation are not chronological. They don't go in a set order that sets out a chronological time period. The Bible shows us events in certain order, but when we come to the previous chapters, before chapter 11, we saw the judgments of the tribulation. And in chapter number 11 and 12, we continue to see some of the activities going back through the tribulation period. In chapter 11, we went back and we saw a glimpse of the tribulation temple. And then we saw the two witnesses there that will be preaching the word of God during the tribulation. You see, these are highlights of the different characters or the different persons that are active during this time period. Now, as we go through these chapters, remember that the church is not in focus. The church is not in view. During the tribulation, the church is not in existence upon the earth. It, in fact, is in heaven. The Bible tells us that God, in the tribulation, will once again turn His attention back to the nation of Israel. It is the nation of Israel that is in view here in chapter number 12. As we look at this chapter, you might be wondering, as we read through these verses, what are all these types and symbols all about? What is God showing us here in chapter number 12? Well, let me say this as an introduction. Chapter number 12 is like God's panoramic history of the nation of Israel from the time of the beginning to the time of the end of the tribulation. It is God's view of the history of Israel. So this morning I've titled the message, Heaven's View of Israel. Heaven's View of the Nation of Israel. Let's have a look at what the Bible says this morning in chapter number 12 in these mysterious and heart-stirring verses. First of all, notice we see the woman and her child. The woman and her child. Look with me in verse number 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Now the word wonder means sign. And here we find the mystery of the woman. Who is this woman? And who is her child? Well, there's been great debate over the years about who the woman is, but there is certainly no debate this morning about who her child is. Look with me in verse number 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, when we compare Scripture with Scripture, who is this one that is destined to rule all nations with a rod of iron? Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll learn more about that in the chapters to come. So we see the child that is born of this woman is indeed the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will rule and reign for 1,000 years with a rod of iron in the millennium. But who is this woman? Now, many funny ideas have popped up over the years, obviously, because of those who do not want to take the Word of God at face value. They want to force another idea in. For example, Roman Catholics believe that this woman is Mary. But there's a problem with that idea. There's a problem with that idea because Mary cannot be wedged into verse number 6. Notice verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God. The Bible speaks about 3.5 years in those times there. 3.5 years that depict the safety given to this woman there in the tribulation. It cannot be applied to Mary. It cannot be applied to Mary. It refers to an event during the tribulation period. Now, some believe this woman is the church. Of course, it cannot apply to the church because the church will not be in existence. And the reality is that, remember, the church did not give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ gave birth to the church. We came from Christ. Christ did not come from the church. So, who is this mysterious woman? Now, some of you have already guessed, and the clues in this text tell us who her identity is. The woman and her child. Notice the signs accompanying the woman. Verses 1 and 2 says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, where in the Bible do we find all these signs clustered together? The sun, moon, and the stars. Now, some of you might remember in the book of Genesis, what did Joseph say? What did he dream of? He saw the sun, the moon, and the stars making obeisance, bowing down before him. Now, you remember what his brothers thought of that vision. Well, they hated him for it because they knew what he meant. You remember his father, Jacob, whom the Lord renamed as Israel. You remember he didn't much like the vision either, because the sun represented Israel, Jacob. The moon represented his wife, and the stars represented the children of Israel, Joseph being the 12th. So we see here that the sun, moon, and stars describe the nation of Israel, describes the beginnings, describes Jacob, who was renamed as Israel, and his children. Romans chapter number 5 tells us this: whose are the fathers, speaking of Israel, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. What is this great wonder in heaven? My friends, I believe this morning that this great wonder is the great wonder of God's wonderful plan of salvation for the world. God's wonderful plan to raise up a people, the nation of Israel, whom according to the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ would come. Amen. He is the man-child, God in the flesh that was born of the line of the nation of Israel. You see, here we have a picture of a great wonder in heaven, the nation of Israel. We'll see that more clearly. We've seen the signs accompanying the woman. Notice the sufferings of the woman, which we've identified as Israel. Israel is pictured as the woman here in chapter number 12. Notice verse number 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. You see, the Bible tells us there is another wonder, a red dragon. The word dragon occurs 13 times in the book of the Revelation. And who does this dragon refer to? Look with me in verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. Well, we know who the woman is, the nation of Israel. We know who the child is, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we know who the dragon is, the devil, that old serpent, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Notice what verse 4 says. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Here we find Satan's hatred for the woman, the nation of Israel. As we look back through history, we might ask the question, why has the nation of Israel faced such hatred and persecution in the past, in the present, and in the future to come? Why? Well, the answer is very clear. The answer is very clear. The word dragon is a description of Satan. It is a symbol for cruelty, for bloodlust, for hatred and violence and power. You see, it is the devil who is the cause of Israel's persecution and suffering. He has a special hatred for the Jewish people since the time God promised a Messiah in the Garden of Eden. You remember God's first announcement of the seed of the woman to come. You see, Satan has always wanted to destroy, to wipe out of existence the nation of Israel. Isn't that true? Do you remember in Moses' day, what was Pharaoh's decree? That all males that are born are to be destroyed. To be destroyed. That was in Pharaoh's day. Do you remember in Esther's day? Yep. Again, another plot to exterminate the Jewish people. Do you remember wicked Haman the Agagite? As you read through the book of Esther, you'll see what was his desire. What was his one focus? What was his goal? Where did that come from? To destroy the Jews. Why the Jews? Why? Because it was satanically and demonically filled and infused and moved. You see, the devil is behind the persecution of the nation of Israel. The devil, the great dragon, Satan himself. Now, in our modern times, we can continue to look at that persecution. Now, you remember in Stalin's day, Stalin's wicked dictatorship, under his rule, over 3 million Jews were put to death. But that wasn't the darkest hour, because then there was Hitler. That was the darkest day that we can look back on. Do you realize that 6 million Jews perished in what the Nazis called their final solution, the extermination of more than half of the Jewish population in Europe. You see, these verses answer the question, why? Why? Why has Israel faced such persecution? Why has Israel faced such hatred? You see, it's because of the devil. The devil's hatred. The devil's hatred for the nation of Israel. And you see, the devil has been and will be the power behind anti-Semitism in the past, in the present, and in the future to come. And by the way, more and more, everywhere we look, the Jews are having less and less friends, are they not? Less and less friends. One Arab leader has said, there are 50 million Arabs. What does it matter if we lose 10 million of our own to exterminate the Jews? You see, we may not know, because we haven't heard, that the Jews are under severe persecution. They are, and things are going to get much, much worse during the tribulation. There will come a wave of anti-Semitism such as the world has never seen. We've seen the signs describing that this woman is Israel. We've seen the sufferings of the woman. Notice the son of the woman. The son of the woman, verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child. The Bible tells us that she brought forth a man-child which we have identified as the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Christ is God come in the flesh. He is the God-man. He is the Son of God. God came to this wicked, sinful earth. Why? For one reason, to be robed in flesh so that He might die a physical death on the cross to pay for your sins and mine. That is why God became man. And yet He remained 100% God, and He was 100% man, and His blood was sinless. And when He shed His holy blood, my friends, He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Do you realize, my friends, the greatness of the message in the Bible this morning? She brought forth a man-child, the seed of a woman. The Lord had. Joseph was not Jesus Christ's father. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. His blood is sinless. And His blood still saves today. Amen. The precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He is the one that is worthy of our worship this morning. Our wonderful Lord, who came to this wicked world to save us from our sins. But see also, He is the object of Satan's hatred. Why does Satan want to destroy Israel? Because the nation of Israel were the ones from whom the Lord Jesus Christ came, from the lineage of Israel. And you see, the Bible tells us that Satan sought to devour the child as soon as he was born. Do you remember what Herod plotted to do when he found out about the birth of the Messiah? Is that not a fulfillment of Scripture? Absolutely. Kill all the male child, children from, I believe it was 2 years old and under. Get rid of them. What was the goal? To destroy the Messiah. Well, did Satan's plan work, yes or no? Absolutely not. Then Satan tempted the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. He tempted the Lord Jesus Christ with the kingdoms of the world, if He would just simply bow down and worship Him. But let me ask you this question: did the devil overcome the Lord Jesus Christ? No, he did not. Absolutely not. And we know that the devil thought he won the victory when Christ was crucified. When the Jews cried out, unbelieving, unrepentant, unwilling to receive their Messiah. When the Jews cried out at Pilate's throne, they said, crucify Him, crucify Him. The devil was rejoicing. The dragon thought that he had devoured the child. But let me tell you something this morning. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the old rugged cross and He shed His blood for your sins and mine, my friends, death was swallowed up in victory. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ won the victory. The chains of sin eternally were broken. So sinners like you and I can experience the victory in Jesus by repenting of our sins and trusting Him personally as our Savior. You see, the devil, he might have some powers, but he is nothing, nothing compared to our wonderful Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ has won the battle And my friend, if you are a born-again Christian here this morning, we have nothing to complain about. Indeed, we have everything to rejoice about because we are on the winning side. Amen. We see the defeat of the devil in these passages. That ought to cause us to rejoice. Well, the devil was not able to destroy the woman. She is under divine protection even today, the nation of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ could not be moved. In fact, He fulfilled the joy that was set before Him. Satan's head has been crushed. The devil is a defeated foe. Notice Christ's destiny in verse number 5. Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 19 that Christ will come and rule for 1,000 years. We will see this in the day to come. But let me remind you that the child that was born of a woman will one day come to rule the world. Amen. Amen. The Lord is on the throne and He is coming again. The victory of our Savior. Notice His resurrection in verses 5 to 6. The Bible tells us, and He was caught up unto God and to His throne. And my friends, don't miss the good news of the gospel right here. You see, when Christ died on the cross for the sins of mankind, He didn't stay dead in the grave. You cannot go to the nation of Israel and find the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ where His body is lying today. You can go to the tombs of many religious leaders today that claim they are messengers of God and they are God. You can see their bodies still in existence today. But my friends, you will not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because on the third day, He rose again from the dead and then He ascended up to heaven and today He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. My friends, Christ is risen. Because He rose from the dead. Everything He said about salvation, every claim He made to be God, when the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by Me, the Lord said, I am the only way to heaven, there is no other God, no other religion, no other system, no other way of salvation, outside of salvation in Me alone, the Lord proved that by rising from the dead, victory over the grave, and ascending up into heaven. My friends, He is the only Savior. He is the wonderful Savior. Many people say today that Christianity is too exclusive. Absolutely not. My opinion is this. Thank God there is only one way. Thank God the way is clear. Thank God the way is simple. You don't need to be an Aussie to be saved. You can be anywhere in the world and repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and you are instantly born again. Forgiven for your past, present and future sins, all together by the blood that justifies, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His salvation is for all. Thank God for His salvation. Let me ask you this morning, are you sure of your salvation? If you died today, would you be 100% sure of a home in heaven? Do you know that all your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ? Remember, the Bible tells us here this morning that Christ came. He paid for our sins. But He's coming again. And He's not coming again to save. He's coming again to judge. My friends, either Christ is our Savior or He will be our judge. Which one is it? Have you been born again? Has there been a time in your life that you realized what the Bible said is true? For all have sinned, including me. And fallen short of the glory of God. For there is none righteous, no, not one, Romans chapter 3 says. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. We deserve to be cast out of God's presence. We deserve to be cast into the lake of fire because we're sinners. God is holy and He must judge. But the good news is God judged your sin and mine in the person of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When He took upon Himself the weight of the sins of the world, and on that cross He said, it is finished. My friends, your sins and mine were paid in full. If you are not a Christian today, if you've never been saved, let me invite you to receive the gift of eternal life this morning. Jesus has not come as yet. He is coming for His own. My friend, you still have time to be saved. If you have a doubt this morning, don't hesitate to make a decision to receive Christ. See, the Bible tells us He is seated upon the throne. Those who are saved will have eternal life. Those who are lost will be judged and receive eternal torment in the lake of fire. Verse number 6, we see the deliverance of the woman. Verse number 6, the Bible says, look with me there, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. You see, the Bible tells us that the woman, which is the nation of Israel, and the dates that we add up to be 3.5 years, describe to us God's protection over His people during the last half of the tribulation. You see, the devil will do his worst. He will seek to destroy God's people, but his plans will be destroyed. His plans will be foiled because God has prepared a place. Amen. God will prepare a place of safety in the wilderness where the fleeing Jews will be safe. And my point is this, as we look at the woman and her son, as we look at this panoramic view of the history of Israel according to heaven, do you see something this morning? Do you see that God is in control? Do you see that the devil is not in control? Yes, he is a dragon. Yes, he is raging. Yes, he is panicking. But history is in the hands of the Almighty God. God is working everything exactly out according to His will and His good purpose. Now, what does that mean for us today? That means for you and I, we can be greatly encouraged. Did you know that God is in control of every detail of your life? Do you realize God has purposed everything for your good and mine? Do you realize that perhaps He brought you here this morning, knowing that you'll hear the gospel, knowing that you need to be saved? Let me encourage you, if that's you, don't resist Him. This may be your last opportunity, Christian. If you are saved, be encouraged. God knows what's going on in your life. God has a plan. How easy it is for us to take our eyes off the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the Bible says, but so often we look unto the ground. Amen. With our head down and discouraged, and we think, oh Lord, this is a shocking world. Lord, deliver me from it. My friends, if that was His will, we would be gone by now. Amen. He's left us here for a purpose. Amen. Amen. That's why the church is still here. Coastline Baptist Church. That's why we're still here. He has a purpose in our lives. Purpose for our church. That's greatly comforting for the believer. What a wonderful plan of salvation. The woman and her son. Notice the scene quickly changes to another scene in heaven. Our second point this morning, we've seen the woman and her son. Notice the war in heaven and on earth. The war in heaven and on earth. Now perhaps the last place you would think that there would be a war in heaven is right there. Notice verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. A war in heaven. Now remember, when Satan fell, he drew a multitude of fallen angels with him. Here we see the dragon and fallen angels, demons, fighting against Michael and his angels. We don't have time to do a study this morning, but Michael the archangel is in the Old Testament, ministers to the nation of Israel. In the Old Testament, as we see the ministry of Michael the archangel, we see his involvement in the nation of Israel. So it's not surprising we see him once again here in verse number 7. The Bible tells us the purpose of the war. What is this purpose? The Bible says in verse 8, and prevailed not. Amen. The dragon prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. What is the purpose of this war? And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He is a liar and the father of it. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. See, Revelation chapter 12 describes the casting out of Satan, the casting down of Satan. Indeed, we know that heaven is not Satan's dwelling place. Indeed, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that he is the prince and power of the air. He has been cast out of heaven into the air. Here in Revelation, he will be cast out of the air to the earth. And my friends, one day he will be cast from the earth into the bottomless pit, and then he will be brought back out to be cast out of the earth into the lake of fire. Christian, are you glad this morning that Satan is on his way down?
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. What a wonderful memory verse. My friends, we are on the victory side. Satan is on his way down. He's a defeated foe. And the plan and purpose for this war is to demonstrate that God is over all. He allows Satan to do what he wills according to God's overruling authority and power. God is in control. Notice the prosecutor in this war. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. How it describes the devil. Here we hear words of praise and declaration. And I heard a loud voice in heaven, saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." My friends, do you see the devil's purpose in this verse? You see, the devil is allowed of God to access the very presence of God. The Bible says that he is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses the brethren. Who are the brethren? The Christian. He accuses Christians before the throne of God day and night. My friends, is this not what he did to Job of old? Is this not what he did to Joshua of old? The dragon, the devil, Satan, accuses us before the Lord day and night. You see, he works on earth to turn us against God. That's what he does. But he works in heaven to turn God against us. That's his ministry. He is the accuser. He's the prosecutor in the courtroom of heaven, if you will. You can imagine God the Father seated upon his throne. You can imagine the Lord Jesus Christ seated upon the right hand of God the Father. Now you can imagine the devil coming into the presence of God, accusing the brethren. Now by the way, the devil doesn't need to accuse us of sins that we haven't done. He doesn't need to lie at that point, because the reality is, as Christians, we are still sinners, yet saved by the grace of God. We are still sinners. And the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He wants to blaspheme God by pointing out the sins in our life. But you see, there is one thing he often forgets. In fact, he always forgets, because he accuses the brethren day and night. Let me encourage you with 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. Look with me in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 1. You see, the devil is the prosecutor. He is the accuser. Notice what God says in chapter number 2, in verse 1 of 1 John. Let's read this verse aloud together, amen. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 1, on 2. 1, 2. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." What is an advocate? An advocate is one that defends us on our behalf. You see, the dragon, the devil, is the prosecutor. He accuses us before the Lord. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God the Father, he is our righteous advocate. He is our defense lawyer. And I can imagine it and picture it in my heart this morning. I trust you'll picture it too. The moment this foul mouth, demon, devil, the dragon stands before the Lord and accuses us before the Lord, suddenly he hears a voice from the side of the throne of God, a voice as the sound of many waters, and he sees a light shining brighter than he ever has before. He sees eyes as flames of fire. He sees feet of brass. And there is a one that comes forth with hands pierced and feet pierced to defend us based upon the righteousness of his own payment for our sins. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ steps forth. And the devil might say, Lord, do you see James Herrington? Do you see how he failed? Do you see how he sinned against you the other day? And then the Lord Jesus Christ will step forward and say, he has received me, my Father. He is under the blood. And God the Father will decree, case dismissed. Innocent, clean, under the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you see the love of the Lord this morning? Though the devil is our persecutor, our prosecutor, the Lord Jesus Christ is our advocate. Ought that not to put in you a heart of desire to sin less often? Amen. Amen. The Lord will never let us down. But you see, just as much as Satan is seeking to turn God against us, which will never happen if we're saved, the devil is at work on earth to turn his people against God, to turn the Christian against God, indeed to turn the nation of Israel against God. There is a war in heaven. There is a war on earth. And here in verse number 11, we see that Satan is overcome in heaven. But you see, Satan is also overcome on earth. My friends, God gives us a plan of victory in the Word of God for the believer. A three-step plan right here in verse number 11. Notice what it says of these faithful Jewish believers. How did they overcome the devil back in Revelation chapter number 12? Let's read it together on two. One, two. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. My friend, do you want victory over Satan and his devices? Well, here is a simple three-step plan that you and I can follow every day. The Bible tells us, and they overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb. Christian, have you ever been accused in your mind where Satan has accused you of sins that Christ has already forgiven? Sins that you've already confessed to him. Sins that you know he has cleansed you from. Have you ever had those accusing thoughts come back into your mind? What do? Oftentimes we're discouraged. We listen to our flesh more than we listen to the Spirit of God. We listen to our flesh that says, well, God doesn't love you anymore. God hates you. In fact, you are out of his favor as a Christian. Yet it's a sin you've already confessed. It's a sin that he's already cleansed. What do we need to do? Well, they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. Brethren, we need to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to tell Satan that we are under the blood of Christ. And we need to say, thank you, Lord, for already having forgiven me. Don't let those wicked thoughts pull you down as a Christian. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Those accusing thoughts that Satan often fills our mind with, our flesh often fills our mind with, need to be cast down. The tribulation saints here in this period will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. And that reminds us once again that he may be able to touch their bodies, but he will never be able to touch their soul. Amen. Amen. We are overcomers in Christ. We are overcomers. And by the way, that also means once saved, always saved. They overcame him how? By the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him. Satan is overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You cannot lose your salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ said, and they will never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Salvation is secure. How do we overcome the devil? We need to make sure we're saved. Be saved. Be saved. Secondly, be steadfast. Verse 11 says, and by the word of their testimony. The word testimony means report, to say something. You see, these believers in the tribulation were not ashamed of their faith. They will not be ashamed of their faith. The Bible tells us, looking back here in the book of the Revelation, that there will be great witnessing going on during the tribulation. Souls will be saved by the word of their testimony. How do we gain victory over the devil? How do we defeat the devil? Church family, it's not by sitting still, amen. It's not by doing nothing. No, the Bible tells us we are to go out and witness to others. We are to go out and preach the gospel. You see, God has called us into the battle. There is a war in heaven and there is a war on earth. And I'm afraid the average Christian is just sitting back thinking that they're okay, but in fact they are a defeated Christian. A defeated Christian. You see, witnessing will protect us against worldliness. Witnessing will cause us to love who God loves, the souls of mankind. Worldliness will cause us to love what the devil loves. Amen? My friends, this world system is of the devil. Let me ask you this morning, do you love the world or do you love the Lord? God says it cannot be both. He says to the Christian, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen? The Bible tells us we are to be witnesses. How do we overcome the devil? Well, it's not by loving the world. It's by witnessing, by the word of our testimony. If you are saved, you've got something to say. Amen? Absolutely. If Christ has done anything in your life, you've got something to say. What is your testimony like this morning? Are you gaining victory over the devil, or are you exactly this morning where the devil wants you to be? Silenced, still, and at a distance from God. See, we might think, well, I'm saved, I've got the victory. Well, practically, do we have the victory in our daily lives? Who are we living for? What are we living for? We need to be saved, we need to be steadfast in our testimony, and we need to be surrendered, verse 11. And they love not their lives unto the death. We see these believers love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything else. Indeed, more than their very lives. My friends, that is, in a nutshell, the Bible definition of surrender. I'm surrendered to God. Are you surrendered with your life? Not with just one area. Not with just what I watch or where I go. Christian, are you surrendered with your lives? With your life, they love not their lives unto the death. Many believers during this period will enter eternity with the Lord rejoicing, having given their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. As we look at this horrific period, as we see that there is such great witness going on, wouldn't it put us to shame to think in a day of freedom that we live in this nation, in Australia, in Cairns, wouldn't it put us to shame that we have freedom to witness and yet we stay quiet? You see, by the word of their testimony, by their surrender, this is how we overcome the devil. Amen? What a wonderful plan. Let me encourage you to put these verses down into your heart. Let me encourage you to remember and memorize verse number 11. The woman and her son, the war in heaven and on earth, and lastly, the woe and the wrath. The woe and the wrath, verse number 12. Pick it up with me there. Verse number 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You see, when the devil is cast down, we know that he knows his time is limited. He knows that the end is near. He is panicking. He cannot vent his anger against God. He is cast out of heaven, so he vents his anger once again on the nation of Israel in full fury, in full wrath. The Bible says that there will be satanic persecution in a way that is greater than has ever seen before against Israel. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Can you see why the devil hates Israel so much? Because she brought forth the man-child. You see, Israel brought forth the Messiah. Israel, it is through the nation of Israel that God brought forth the Scriptures. It is for the nation of Israel that Christ is coming again to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and we will come with him. Can you see why the devil hates the nation of Israel? Now today they are in unbelief. Today they are blinded. Today they have been set aside until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Until they are saved in the tribulation. But you see, the devil hates them. The devil hates them and will seek to destroy them. The satanic persecution, notice the supernatural protection, verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. We don't really understand what these two wings are. Some have speculated they might represent the United States. And let me just say, I think that's just speculation. Two wings of an eagle. The Bible describes the wings of an eagle as wings of protection, wings of swiftness. God will deliver them swiftly. God will protect them, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. You see, God has prepared a place of protection for the Jews. God has prepared a place that they will be safe from the outpouring of wrath of the devil. The supernatural protection of God. Notice verse 15. You see, the devil is also able to do supernatural works, is he not? Absolutely. We'll see that as we continue through this book. The Bible says, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Verse 16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. You see, the devil will attack the nation of Israel. The devil will attack supernaturally, but God will swallow up the devil's attacks. Amen. God will defeat the devil's attacks on his people. You see, the devil's power is no match for the power of God. Amen. As I looked at these verses, I recalled how Moses cast down the rod of God before the throne of Pharaoh. And you remember, as he cast down that rod, what did the rod turn into? Absolutely, a snake. And you remember where those enchanters, those wicked workers of darkness that Pharaoh employed, those soothsayers, how they cast down their rods. And supernaturally, their rods turned into snakes. You see, the devil can also work miracles. You need to be careful what you trust in when it comes to visions and dreams, amen? Oh, Pastor, I saw a vision of the Lord. I know I'm saved. Now, hang on a second. The Lord Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We're not saved by seeing a vision or a dream. The devil can transform himself into an angel of light. He can perform miracles. Now, that's just a little bit extra. It wasn't in my notes this morning. That's just for free. But the devil's miracles are no match for God's power. Amen? Because Moses' serpent, what happened next? Swallowed up the devil's serpents. And here in the book of the Revelation, the devil will work with all his might to destroy the nation of Israel, but God will swallow up the devil's attacks. Amen? You see, God, if God be for us, who can be against us? That ought to be our motto in the Christian life. Why should we live in fear? Why should we worry to be a witness? Why should we worry to trust in God? Why should we believe the lies of the devil, that his ways are more pleasurable than the joy that God gives us? They are lies. My friends, like the nation of Israel, when we find ourselves under attack, we can flee to the rock that is higher than I, amen? We can flee to the rock that is higher than you and I, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can take shelter under the shadow of his wings. We can come to the Lord for comfort and care. We have a wonderful Savior, our Advocate. We can run to His arms and cast our cares upon Him. For He careth for us, our wonderful Savior, our all-powerful Savior. He is the one in whom we find our shelter and rest as Christians. Let me ask you, are you under attack this morning? Well, then are you going to the Lord for rest? Are you going to the Lord for peace? Are you going to the Lord in prayer to receive a peace that passeth all understanding? That's the promise for the Christian. God knows how to look after His own, amen? Yes. Absolutely. He knows. And we know as we look at these verses. Lastly, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let me just quickly wrap up to say in verse 17, the word of God is prominent right here, is it not? They kept the commandments of God. As they sheltered in the Lord, the word of God was precious to their soul. Amen. Amen. The commandments of God, the word of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. The word of God. My friends, how do we flee to the Lord when we're under attack? We flee to the arms of the Lord. We flee to the Word of God. We flee to His precious Word, His precious promises. Amen. The Word of God is the balm for our weary soul. The Word of God is how you and I are revived in our witnessing. The Word of God brings assurance of salvation as we spend time in the Word and we see the promises of God. The Word of God is what we need to be steadfast to. The Bible says that faith is our shield. Faith in what? The Word of God. The Bible says in our spiritual armor, the sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. And yet so often we're defeated as Christians. We're downcast. We're discouraged. We're defeated for the Lord's purposes because we're not spending time in the Word of God. We're not following the Word of God. Let me encourage you this week to spend time in the world. My friends, we have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. But are we walking in that victory? Are we practically living in victory? We can. In this panoramic view of the nation of Israel, do we not see this morning that God's promises are sure? He will fulfill the beginning promises right to the end. We can be encouraged. God's promises to us are sure. His plan of salvation is wonderful. What a wonderful Savior. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, make sure you receive Him today. Come and see us. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you can be born again and have a spiritual birth that lasts for eternity. Forgiveness of sins once and for all. The war in heaven and on earth, my friend, Satan is a defeated demon. He's a defeated creation. And he is going down, down, down. I think it's time for some Christians to stand up this morning and say, I'm going to be used of the Lord. I'm going to, in God's grace and strength, walk in victory, amen. I'm going to claim the blood of Christ. I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't care what anyone says or does to me. My love is towards the Lord and the devil can't defeat me. Because God is in control. The woe and the wrath on earth show us that God's divine protection is upon His people. God is for us. Who can be against us? Amen. Are we not victors? Are we not encouraged this morning?